Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got through the field. He's got through. 35, 30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live, everybody. I'm Paul Dottino. He's John Schmilk. Just getting in under the gun as we prepare to bring you 1 hour of Giants football. We're going to talk about everything you want to talk about, your questions, your comments about this team as they enter the bye week and have six more games to go to finish out their schedule. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513 is our phone number. You can also get us on the Twitter at hashtag Giants Chat. John, one of the things.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing good, Paul. How are you?
What, did you break your best 40 time ever to get in here?
You might see later on Giants.com while I was a minute late.
I got you. Hey, listen, one of the things I thought we could throw out to the fans today, since it is the bye week.
Yes, sir.
And there's not any heavy-hitting preview game topic that we could talk about, is potentially which of the Giants players in the last six games of the season who may have flown under the radar just a bit may step up and have a significant impact over the final month and a half of the season. And I think that folks could certainly argue the guy who fits that bill for the first 10 games of the year would be Dwayne Harris.
Agreed.
He certainly made the biggest jump from lying in the woods, so to speak.
Sure.
Who might it be in the final six games of the season?
Well, I mean, I think we've seen Jasper Brinkley already maybe show he could be that guy.
Maybe.
I don't know if you want to count him because he already kind of showed you something against New England, so maybe you don't put him on that list. And he did well against Tampa as well. How about JT Thomas if he comes back from injury? That's a guy that, you know, played a lot of games early, you know, didn't make a lot of huge plays, but obviously he has an impact on the game. Prince coming back from injury. You know, he's been out for a while now. He's somebody that can certainly help the secondary come back.
A little over a month, John.
Yeah. I mean, I think we thought it would be a 3 to 4 week injury. It ended up being a 5 week injury. Now he has the bye to recover. So we'll see whether how good Prince is when he gets back on the field against Washington.
You could even argue JPP.
Yeah. But you
know, nobody expected much coming back.
You said under the radar.
Well,
he's been anything but under the radar for the past 2 weeks.
Hype-wise.
Right.
But I think in terms of football-wise, being that he's coming in fresh after no football action forever and ever and ever and ever.
If you would have asked me back in August if I thought JPP would be doing this now, I would have said no.
Right?
Yeah,
he's already been above and beyond the first 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
So
I think that's fair.
So maybe, I mean, you know, again, it's how you phrase the question and how you interpret the question. But I think that there are certainly a number of guys, and John's alluded to a few candidates.
I got another one for you. How about one of the DTs that are going to be stepping in from Bromley? I mean, stepping in for Hankins. A Bromley
could be one.
A Jenkins, even a Kuhn.
You know, Marcus Kuhn had a big fumble recovery the other day.
Robert Nunn said Kuhn played his best game as a Giant in that game last week.
Doesn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. Doesn't surprise me. So, in any event, you know, there are a number of guys who can certainly help this team if they step forward and assume a larger role and perhaps make some type of impact as the Giants try to make a playoff push. At 5-5, they're still in first place in the division. They've got the rest of the season in front of them, and they control their own destiny. Let's make something very clear, John. The Giants will finish where they deserve to finish because they've got control right now.
Now, here's the trick.
You know?
Absolutely. Here's the trick, though, Paul. All those guys we already just mentioned, what do they have in common?
What do they have in common?
They all play defense. Is there anybody on the offensive side of the ball that hasn't already been a pretty big part of this team that can step up and make some plays in the second half? And I think if you're trying to find that guy in offense, I think you look at the running back position and you see if one of these guys can step up and earn more of the carries. Can somebody get a hot hand for a 2 or 3 week period? Look, the Giants aren't going to run it 40 times a game. As much as you wanted them to do it before the season,
never.
That's not the identity that this team took
no.
this year. But can somebody stake a claim and say, you know what, I'm playing so well that maybe we can't give all four guys all these carries. Who can be that guy? It's not going to be Shane Vereen. He's not going to be a 17-carry guy.
No.
He'll do what he does, and he'll be a big part of the offense regardless.
Agreed.
But can either Darkwa, Jennings, or Andre Williams say, you know what, I'm going to be your bell cow. I'm earning it. I'm going to be really, really good. Can one of them do that?
You know, the other day on our pregame show outside MetLife Central, if you folks ever have the opportunity to come to a game, if you're not a season ticket holder, we always do a pregame show outside the west side of the stadium, MetLife Central. We're out there a couple hours before the kickoff, and, you know, we got the stage out there, and we play games, and we talk to the fans and everything, and it's a lot of fun.
And we actually recruit fans to come in and hold up Lance's stool so that he's kind of even with everybody
goodness.
Else.
Where did that come from?
It's a little jab.
My point was, I asked for the X factor going into this Patriots game. If the Giants were to pull off an upset, who would be the X factor? Because, you know, Belichick likes to take out the guys who he believes can beat him. And I had suggested Will Tye. Turned out Will Tye made a couple of catches in that game and almost had a touchdown. Came within a foot of a touchdown.
And I'll tell you what, talking to Kevin M. Gilbride, yesterday when the assistant coaches spoke, I'm not sure if you had a chance to look at the transcripts yet, but he really spoke glowingly of how quickly Will Tye has figured things out, especially in the blocking game. Now, obviously, there are consistency issues week to week from play to play. He's an undrafted free agent in Stony Brook. What the hell were you expecting? You're going to have inconsistencies. So if you clean some of that stuff up, Kevin was very, very complimentary of the job he's done and in terms of playing both ways, both as a receiver and as a blocker.
And, you know, with Larry Donnell having the neck issue, now I saw Larry the other day before they gave everybody off, and he had said he was doing better and anticipated, this is no guarantee, he'd be ready for the Redskins game.
Neck injuries, you're always careful. I mean, look, we thought Uwani Yunga was going to be back 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he's still not back. So who knows?
So we don't know. But in the meantime, Will Tye has made some plays, certainly in the passing game, that have helped this Giants offense continue to flow, despite the fact that you've got a 63-catch tight end who was eliminated from the equation. So good for him, you know. I don't know if he can, if Donnell's out, if Ty can continue to be that guy. Because you know how it goes, John. Once they figure out that they get the ball to you, they start paying attention.
Well, look what Larry Donnell did in his first five games last year. And then all of a sudden, clamps get put on you a little bit and you can't exactly do everything you're going to do.
Yeah, well, because that light is all of a sudden on you. You're not in the shadows anymore. And they're like, well, guess what? We need to worry about him. We need to take him away.
Absolutely.
So Will Tye, an interesting concept out of Stony Brook, as you said, local guy out of New York. So let's see how that goes down. Anyway, 201-939-4513 is our phone number. John, I didn't call up the doc yet.
I got it right here.
Doc. You got the doc?
Yes.
Let's do this.
Let's do it. Mike out in Oakland, California. Mike, what's going on, pal?
Hey, fellas. Good morning. And I love how you started the show. So, you know, I got to tell you that I listened all yesterday, but I really couldn't call in because it just was a really tough loss for me and difficult week after losing Beatty and then Cruz. But, you know, I've had a little time to let it sink in, and I got to be honest, I thought the game was going to be a blowout. You know, lack of defense in the New Orleans game, and really, to me, since we played the Bills, I just thought Brady was going to pick us apart. So, you know, with a little time, you know, I want to throw out a couple big positives, and I want to hear what your thoughts on it on them are.
Go right ahead.
So the first thing is, you know, John, you already touched on it. AJ Marshall's tweeting about it this morning, but you know, I think we found a middle linebacker. I mean, Jasper Brinkley just played his second excellent game in a row, and I'll throw on top of that, I think we showed a little depth. Because, you know, we had good linebacker play without Beeson, without Unga, and without JT Thomas.
No, look, I agree. And I think the thing you like about Brinkley, Paul, is that they're not asking him to do the things that he might struggle with. Did you see Jasper Brinkley lined up on Rob Gronkowski chasing him around? Nope. You're asking him to play the line of scrimmage and play the run. You had him on your postgame show on Sunday.
Yeah.
He's a big hulking guy. This is not a sideline to sideline speed, new school type of 2015 NFL linebacker. This guy could have played in the 90s with his size in the middle, and he's good at stuff in the run.
Yeah, for sure. That was, I mean, the rap coming in, you know, honestly, I really didn't know much about him until we picked him up, but, you know, Pro Football Focus and all the reviews I read, you know, he was like a top 15 run stuffing linebacker.
Yep.
But I gotta tell you, to me, he showed some great speed. He made some plays toward the sideline. I mean, I forgot who he ran down, but he made this one great sideline tackle running the running back down. And, you know, beautiful. So I'm on the Jasper Brinkley bandwagon, and you know, I agree with AJ Marshall. I want to see him stay in a middle linebacker even when Unga comes back.
Let me just add one thing to your comment, because even though he had started a number of games in his career with the Vikings,
yep, plenty.
He only had one career sack until the other day, and the Giants sent him on a blitz. And he got to Brady.
I didn't realize he only had one career sack.
That's all he ever had.
No, I didn't know that either.
And he got to Brady on the blitz and caused a fumble. Look,
nice.
Some guys, even if they're not the most athletic and they're not the quickest and they're not the best in terms of range sideline to sideline, some guys are known as what's known as straight-ahead linebackers.
Yeah.
Okay? I'll give you a great example. How long have you been a Giants fan?
Since, I don't know, about 74.
All right, so you remember Kavika Mitchell, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Kavika Mitchell was an outstanding straight-ahead linebacker. He's, to equate it to offense, a downhill runner.
Yeah.
Straight-ahead linebackers. If you want, call him a downhill linebacker. What I saw the other day when they sent him on that blitz, he looked like he was shot out of a cannon, and he looked like he was faster than he was supposed to be, and it worked out extremely well. So I'm curious as to if Brinkley continues to get more time in this defense, John, is he a bigger part of the Giants' blitz package through the A-gap?
Good question.
Because we all know quarterbacks don't like people in their wickets. That's an issue.
No. But that also speaks to kind of the my second point. By the way, I just want to throw out Antonio Pierce, because I'm a huge Antonio Pierce fan.
We love that's it.
That's a guy who outperformed his physicality. I mean, he was strong and a run stuffer, but speed, that's not his play. But yet he was fantastic, right? So you know, my second little upside on that game is I think we showed depth on both the offensive and defensive line, and I want to throw a shout out to John Jerry, who's gotten, you know, a lot of criticism, but honestly, he was brought in to be that, you know, substitute lineman. And every time I think we plugged him in, right or left guard, he played very well. And he played very well in this game, too.
And, you know, and he played well. And, Mike, we appreciate the call. Thanks so much, man. And so did Dallas Reynolds when he stepped in. Look, you had a little shotgun snap that maybe got a little high on Eli. He managed to corral it a little bit. And, you know, it's going to take him a play or two to get going. But, look, Dallas Reynolds is a veteran. You know, he started a lot of games for the Eagles. He's been here a couple years now. He knows the offense. And, frankly, I thought they were going to have pass blocking issues against the Patriots in that game. With all their pass rushers, once Pugh was out and then Richburg went out, I was afraid for Eli in the second half of that game. But give that Giants offensive line a lot of credit, Paul. They did a heck of a job keeping Eli on his feet.
Yeah, they did, John. And when you consider how many different formations and how many different guys come from different angles with that Patriots defense, it's not easy to pick up. Now, Carl Banks was saying during the week, he said, you know, the thing that you want to do, instead of getting tied down with all the different combinations, because that's what Belichick wants you to do, just look at the guys on the field. Look at the personnel. And if you know the personnel, that gives you heads up on what they might do when they're on the field. So think more about studying the personnel as opposed to studying the scheme. Know the personnel. That gives you a heads up on stopping them. And I think the O-line did a good job. You're absolutely right.
Fans, don't forget that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com and enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. Let's go to Nugs in Minnesota. I think he's been on the longest. Nugs, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, you guys?
How are you, Nugs?
Yeah, I just wanted to add a little something in. I was listening in yesterday, and I believe it was like the very first call. I think it was Drew yesterday.
Yes, sir.
You were talking to?
Yes, sir. Good caller. We love Drew.
And I want to say that I agree with him. And I know that, you know, I agree with you as well as far as your comeback. You know, if we wanted a touchdown, we had the touchdown. Odell had it in his hand. And that being said, I want to say I agree with you.
See, Nugs, here was my issue, and I will let you continue. Here was my issue with Drew yesterday. I asked him, I said, so Drew, do you want to run clock in the final 2 minutes? Or do you want to try to score the touchdown? And he says, I want to do both. It's hard to do that. You either commit to the touchdown, you go with your matchups, which is what they did. The Pats had goal line personnel on the field. You had one-on-one outside with your receiver. Eli, by the way, the coaches had a running play called on first down. Eli checked out of it into a pass because of personnel, which was the right thing to do if you want to try and score a touchdown. And they had the touchdown in their hands. And quite frankly, they could have scored on second down if the offensive line would have protected Eli a little bit better. They could have gotten Beckham on a slant across the middle. So they had their opportunities. Now, Nuggs, go ahead.
Like I said, I agree with you.
Yes.
But this is where I, you know, part ways with you a little bit.
Sure.
But not too far. When I was younger, because I've been a Giants fan since, you know, I was a kid. Lawrence Taylor was the first player I ever knew, and so that's why I'm a Giants fan to this day, even though I've only been to New York, like, once. So at the end of the day, when I was young, we had what was called a jumbo set. Jumbo. I don't know where that went, but it was just for situations like that. Okay, you got your six big guys. I know we had an injury on the offensive line, but I know we can do, you know, if I'm doing it correctly, we can do the five linemen. We had two tight ends, a fullback, and let's put Darkwood back there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Andre Williams, that was supposed to be like his time to shine in those kinds of situations. Tough yards, 15 feet for the game. 6-4 looks a lot better than going into a bye week than 5-5 with our rivals playing, and then we could all be tied at 5-5, and now everybody has basically their own destiny in their own hands, except if we would have been able to pull that out.
Yeah,
Nugs, exclusively.
Nugs, I hear you.
Yeah.
I just want to give you a quote that Tom Coughlin had yesterday. And then I'll let Paul make his point. But since the coach addressed this situation specifically yesterday, I want to read you Tom Coughlin's quote, if I can find it here in the next 30 seconds. This was the question. This was the question for Coach Coughlin. Let me see. Here we go. This is the question. This is not about second guessing. This is just a question. This is from Paul Schwartz of the Post, if I recall. When that happens and they put six defensive linemen out there, he's clearly expecting you or forcing you to throw the ball. He knows you're not going to run into that. Do you feel comfortable with the other coach dictating to your offense what is going to happen? This was Tom Coughlin's answer to that. Well, in that regard, I don't look at that as dictating. I look at it, they're saying to you, you're not going to run, so you're going to be throwing the football. But I look at it as your matchups are all single. There is nobody else behind the line of scrimmage. It's one-on-one. Go beat somebody. And this is another thing he added to that, too.
That was the right call.
Right.
I agree
and then he adds,
100%.
Nugs, real quick, Nugs. He also said, I can't find the exact quote right now. Here we go. In that circumstance, the odds were against us running the ball in because of the six big people they put up front. And for Tom Coughlin to admit, he's a very proud man. He wants to be able to play downhill, smash-mouth football. For him to come out and say publicly, we wouldn't have been able to do that. Trust me, he doesn't say that lightly. He means it.
Yeah, that tells you an awful lot.
I agree. I agree with that. But this is where you have to kind of just let me be a fan. and that's realistic.
Yes, sir. Of course.
This is where you just kind of have to let me be a fan. If we ended up not getting the touchdown anyways. If we ended up not getting a touchdown anyways, even though I agree with you, we had the touchdown, we had the game won, we had the interception, we had the strip fumble on Brady that they recovered. We had four more chances after that. I agree with you 1,000%. This is not me disagreeing with you. But my point is this, from a fan, if we weren't going to get the ball, if we weren't going to get the touchdown anyways, which is what ended up happening, minus the Eli 10-yard run, we were averaging 3.3 a carry. Last time I checked, the ball was on the 5-yard line. Run it three times. That's more yards going by the stats of what we were averaging at that game, which was still poultry.
See,
only
you're going by numbers and not situations. And when you consider where the ball is, how they're packing it in, the lack of a power running game that this team does not have.
Thank you for the call, Nugs. We appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I get as many people as I can today.
You could easily go three times and gain 1 yard. Just as easily as you think you're going to gain 3 yards.
You could
run
it three times and lose a yard.
You could do that, too. I mean, I look, I'm going to tell you flat out, and John knows, I'm old school, and I love power football.
No one wants to run it more than Paul Tatino.
Trust me. Trust me. Okay? I thought they had the right calls there.
And, Paul, quite frankly, for Tom Coughlin to admit that his team can't do something, I don't know if I've ever heard him say something like that in a press conference before.
No.
I mean, literally, I was shocked when I heard that yesterday. And frankly, I had my opinion before his presser yesterday, but it was only reinforced after his press conference. I've never heard Tom Coughlin say, you know what, in that situation, we were not going to be able to win the battle at the line of scrimmage and run the football in because of the big men they had up front. And by the way, folks, this isn't just the Giants that think this way. I'm going to dial back the clock a little bit and go back to last February. Why'd the Seahawks pass the ball on first down against the Patriots? Because that personnel package was on the field, and the Seahawks didn't feel like they can run the football.
Big difference.
Marshawn Lynch is a little different.
They should have been able to run the football. Okay.
Different teams.
They should not have had a lack of confidence in their running game at that particular
moment. And I believe the ball was actually inside the five.
Yes, it was.
Two. I think it was at the two or the
two.
Three, right?
I believe it was the two.
Which is a little bit different. And you know what, Paul? If the Giants were at the two instead of the five, I bet you they would have ran the ball.
I'd hope so.
I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
I just want to throw one thing out as an addendum to his comment, and it does go back to the Parcells era. They used to use a jumbo running formation with the extra beef as the extra lineman, as the extra tight end, or go double tight end set with a fullback. They used to do that then. In recent times, go back even 15 years or so, the team that won the NFC Championship in 2000, Jason Whittle, was the extra offensive lineman,
right,
who was the jumbo package tight end. I happen to love that. Richie Seibert played some of that as the extra tight end in the jumbo package.
Absolutely.
The Giants over the years have had that on occasion.
So does Sean Locklear when he was here, if you recall.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
Yes, he did. And Will Beattie did it a little bit earlier in his career as well.
Yes, he did.
I love that package. But if you don't think that package is going to be effective, don't put it on the field.
In that situation, and, you know, look, and Tom Coughlin basically said it, he thought in that situation, in that spot, the Patriots are much better off stopping the run than the Giants are running the football, and they made the right play. And look, the ball's in the hands of your best player for a touchdown. You likely win the game. It's going to be tough for the Patriots to drive down and score a touchdown with no timeouts left, and it is what it is.
That's it.
201-939. 4513. Let's go to line four and go to AJ in South Carolina, Matt. AJ, what's up?
The Giants have been a lot of close games, but they had close it out.
AJ, when, absolutely right. And we heard Jerry Reese talk about that yesterday. A big reason the Giants' record is what it is because they have not closed teams out and played well, frankly, in the final 90 seconds and 2 minutes of games. The heck with the fourth quarter.
And I thought Malcolm Butler, he did a good job. Odell Beckham, he was on pretty good.
He had help
in that matchup.
He was very, very pesky. Although, as I was talking to John earlier this morning before the show, and one of the things that Beckham is able to do, even when he doesn't catch the ball, because the Giants are going to continue to force feed him, why shouldn't they? He does draw defensive pass interference calls.
The one call is a bad one. The one on the sideline was a bad one, but the rest of them I thought were okay.
But other games, too,
absolutely,
he's drawn them.
Oh, sure.
People have trouble keeping up with him.
He's so fast. He's fast.
His moves.
He's quick.
He's very quick. In and out of moves.
There's three guys that I've seen change directions like that in and out of routes since I've been here that have really been mind-blowing to me. Victor Cruz is one, getting in and out of routes quickly.
Yeah.
Beckham's the other.
Okay.
And the other guy who didn't have the top speed of Cruz or Beckham, but coming in and out of routes was one of the best guys I've seen, Steve Smith.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too.
Steve Smith coming in and out of routes in that slot position. Antonio Pierce told me that he's never seen anybody coming in and out of routes better than Steve Smith when he was here.
Yeah.
So
I'm all for that.
Fantastic. 201-939-4513. Dre is down in Atlanta. What's up, Dre?
What's going on, Big John? If you got, how's everything going?
Hi.
What's up, Dre?
Hey, I'm not going to be the Debbie Downer. Like, I played football, so I fully understand and I agree with you in what you were trying to explain yesterday. You know, one thing I did see is that we found our future linebacker in Brinkley, but I chalk I had to really look and be a true football fan. Not a Giants fan, but a football fan. It seemed like it's the youth. We have a lot of youth in key positions, and those are the reasons why we haven't closed it out. We're depending a lot on our youth, but I'm not saying that's a bad thing because you learn through experience. But in order for us to move forward, you know, every game we play from this point on is very winnable, but we have to be consistent. As we always say, we're consistent and inconsistent. You know, we win one and lose one. Win the games we, you know, we're not supposed to win, and lose the games we're supposed to win. So if we can tie all that up in a bye, you know, that's great. We just have to get our heads together and play some football. And I think what it is, you know, coaches can't go out there and play. They know what's supposed to be done, but they're not strapping on the helmet. These players have to see that and play.
Hey, Dre, your cell phone's cut on us, man. We can barely understand what you're saying. I think we get your point, and thanks a lot for the call, Paul. We talked about this yesterday with Feagles, and I said this to him, and I think it's fair. If the Giants play as well as they do, as well as they did, rather, against the Patriots for the rest of the year, they're going to be in the playoffs.
They certainly got a good chance.
They should be able to go 4-2 the rest of the way if they play to the same level they did against New England the rest of the way, in my opinion.
I think that's a realistic thing to say, you know, because I think both of us agree they're going to need to go 4-2 to have a good shot. 3-3 at 8-8, I think a tiebreaker may win it, and I don't know if that's going to work out
for
them.
You're not winning it outright in 8-8.
Tiebreaker's going to be sticky.
The way this season's gone, maybe that you can win it outright.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think the odds are very good.
No.
And you might even have a three-way tie at 8-8 if it gets down to that. Absolutely, that's a possibility.
I think 9 wins it outright, though, John. I really do.
I think 9 probably wins it outright, too, but that makes this upcoming game against the Redskins so important. And there was a game similar to this. Was it 2 or 3 years ago? The Rex Grossman game. At the end of November.
Yeah, I
you know the game I'm talking about. 24-14, I think it was 24-20, something like that. And you hope that doesn't happen. But the Redskins have, you know, come in here, and I think the Giants have beat them almost 5 straight times now or something like that, probably since that Rex Grossman game. But this is a very, very important game for the Giants. They must beat the Redskins. Now, if they lose to Washington, is the season over? Is it a must-win? Certainly not. But they dig themselves a sizable hole if they can't beat Washington off the bye.
They do. You know, I was trying not to think about that game during the bye week, and you just wrecked it for me. Now I'm going to be stressed out. I was really hoping to push off the stress till Monday.
You can wait. I get you a couple, like, wine coolers after the show.
Oh,
relax you.
Mighty. You know what I will do, though? I will have both the Eagles game and the Redskins game on 2 screens on Sunday. And I will be watching both of those games simultaneously, but with a specific eye on the Redskins because I got to scout them.
Now, I haven't asked you this yet, but given the reports you recorded earlier in the day and now what you just said right now, it sounds like you are putting the RIP sign over the Dallas Cowboys.
At this moment, I can't worry about them because the Giants don't play them.
Okay.
And they have 2 games in the loss column on them.
Correct.
Therefore, I can't take on too many worries at once or my head will explode. I've decided to push them to the background.
Basically, make them show you that they can win 3 or 4 in a row before you start worrying about it.
Right now?
That's fair.
That's it.
That's fair. Alan in D.C. I haven't heard from Alan in a very long time. How are you, pal?
Going on. Good afternoon, guys. You know, it's been an up-and-down season, but, you know, we're still in first place, so I'll take that, you know. I'm over here in D.C., and there's a ton. I mean, the Skins are already in the Super Bowl over here. I mean, I swear these guys are out of their minds. They got a tough game against Carolina. Then we got time to rest. I think this bye's going to do us some good. You know, is it true that Nix is back? I wasn't sure about that, but I heard some reports that maybe they're considering getting Nix back.
There might be some rumors swirling around the internet, but the Giants have not made any announcement as of yet.
Okay. I mean, oh, man, it sucks that we lost Cruz. I mean, he was one of my, I mean, one of my hopes for this season to get him back. And unfortunate that we lost him. He's such a tough guy, and I know he really wanted it. But it is what it is, man. But, you know, you guys got to work with what he's got. Harris is a great player. I think he's underrated. I mean, all the attention Odell gets, and deservedly so, Harris goes overlooked many times, and I think that's why he's been able to succeed. But I think going forward, I think he's going to get a little bit more attention now that he's putting up with numbers. You know, I'm very, very, very. I'm going to be at the Washington game, and you know, it's going to be a battle. I mean, the Skins. They're kind of like us. They can beat anybody, but lose to everybody. You know,
that's
so,
true. You're right.
It's one of those division games that I look forward to every year. And you know, go Giants. And you know, I just want to give a shout out to Coach Coughlin. You know, a lot of people are quick to pull the trigger and say he has to go. But I mean, who else would you want on this team? I mean, like, come on, guys, come on. Coughlin is an established coach. He's got us a couple rings. I mean, you can't let that go. You can't let that go.
I appreciate the call, Alan. Thanks a lot. And let me tell you this. The game plans that they had on both sides of the ball on Sunday were fantastic. So give Coach Coughlin credit. Give Ben McAdoo credit. Give Steve Spagnuolo credit. Give the entire coaching staff credit. They put that game plan all together as a unit. All of them contribute. And who would you rather have, based on their histories, game planning against Bill Belichick than Tom Coughlin?
Yeah.
Who?
I mean,
no one. That's the answer. No one.
No point in even talking about it.
By the way, who has been more up and down this year than Kirk Cousins?
Yeah.
This guy looks like Joe Montana 1 week, and then he looks like something else the other weeks. Last week against the Saints, 20 of 25, 324 yards. I don't need to give Yaja to Paul. I'm sorry. 80% completion percentage, 4 touchdowns. The game before that, he completed just 55% of his passes against New England, just 217 yards on 40 attempts with a touchdown and a pick against New England. The game before that, he's awesome again, 300 yards, 82% completions, 3 touchdowns against the Bucs. Then he has 4 picks and only 3 touchdowns the 3 weeks prior to that. So he's been all over the ballpark here, Paul, which is frankly what you'll see out of a young quarterback. Cousins is so young. He started at probably less than 20 games in his career still, probably around 15. So I think he actually is showing some progress here, and they have DeSean Jackson back. They have Pierre Garçon back. Jordan Reed's on the field. He has some weapons and two big power backs in Morris and Jones that can run the football.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? If you look at the numbers, Morris and Jones are averaging less than 4 yards a carry.
They have struggled. They had a big game against the Saints, but they've struggled this year.
They have.
Yes.
Their offensive line has been inconsistent. That's
yes,
the reason for that.
That's true as well.
And quite honestly, part of the reason that Cousins' numbers on occasion look really good is because they throw a lot of short stuff.
They have he has thrown more than 40 passes on 5 separate occasions this year.
And a lot of short stuff. I mean, look at his average yards per throw. Okay.
Yeah, not high. I mean, against the Patriots, it was 5. Against the Jets, it was under 5.
I mean,
12 this past week. That was his highest of the year.
We all talk about how you can raise your completion percentage if you're throwing a lot of short stuff.
No question.
And that's true for Eli, too. I mean, he's certainly done more of that as well. That helps your efficiency. It also makes it more difficult to score because it means you have to have more snaps per drive to drive the ball down the field. Look, here's the bottom line. The Redskins have a very, very difficult game against Carolina on Sunday.
Oh, well, they're not looking ahead to the Giants. It's that the Giants have nothing in between.
Oh, I get that. But what I'm saying is, hey, the way things go in this league, who knows what Kirk Cousins is going to do against the Panthers.
Nobody
I don't think
idea.
He's going to perform very well. That's my opinion.
Well,
you've got to think the Panthers are going to win the game.
Very few quarterbacks have performed well against the Panthers.
No question. Quite honestly, who knows if he even makes it through 4 quarters? Panthers got tough defense. He might get hurt. Who knows?
Short.
Bradford just got hurt. They're saying, I believe NFL Network said last night, Bradford's going to miss 2 weeks.
That's
so Sanchez
saying.
Is in charge now for the next 2 games for the Eagles.
Sanchez.
So, anyway, enough of the Redskins. We'll deal with them next week.
Joe in Virginia. He wants to talk Giants football. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. What's up?
Hi, Joe.
So, I was going to ask, what do you think about the Knicks signing? It looks like it's a sure thing he's coming back today.
The Knicks signing is not official, Joe. The Giants have not made any announcements. Until that happens, we really can't talk about it. But let me put it this way. Don't expect the same player that was here in 2010 to walk through the door. If it does at some point happen, there's a reason that he's been trying to find a team over the past year or so. And he doesn't know the offense when he was here before. Kevin Gilbride was the offensive coordinator, not Ben McAdoo. So do not expect Pro Bowl 2010 Akiem Nicks with his 79 catches and 11 touchdowns to walk through the door. But if he eventually does come, you hope he can be a possession receiver, be someone Eli can rely on, and maybe give Dwayne Harris a little bit of a break in terms of the number of snaps he's playing in a game.
There are three elements to Akiem Nicks that I think could benefit the Giants if this scenario occurs. Number one, he absolutely knows Eli, and Eli knows him, and regardless of the system, that's a quarterback and a receiver who have antenna out for each other, who can instinctively make plays.
Yep.
Yeah, I just feel like the chemistry is there. I could agree with you.
That's very important, especially when you only have six games left in the season. You don't want to be teaching some guy.
No time to waste.
I mean, there's none. You got to know it yesterday.
Exactly.
Well, Akiem Nicks knows it from yesterday because he was here yesterday. Well, in the past is what I'm saying. Okay, that's number one. Number two, very large wingspan. Very good in the red zone. Extremely good in the red zone because of that wingspan and the hands that he has. We all know what great hands he has. So that could be a tremendous benefit. And quite frankly, the third thing is, and with all due respect to Odell Beckham, who is a true star, this year he and Eli have not connected on that back shoulder throw very often at all. In fact, they've looked rather poor doing it. Akiem Nicks and the back shoulder throw is a specialty. It is one of Eli Manning's favorite routes, and it happens to be a route that Akiem Nicks does very, very well. And you don't need a ton of speed to run that route.
Agreed.
That would be the third thing that I would look for.
Let's hope he brings his groove back. That's all I got. You guys have a good one.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. You know what I like to say? You know, Nicks has those big hands. I wonder if he's going to start doing those if he does at some point come over to the Giants, if he starts doing those one-handed catch drills that Beckham likes to run during practice and pre-practice.
That could be a funny competition.
Wouldn't it? 201-939-4513. Steve in Staten Island. Steve, what's up?
Boy, how are you, buddy?
Hey,
John, how are you?
Good.
Hey, Paul, how's it going, buddy?
Good to talk to you. How are you?
Good to talk to you guys again. You know, I got to tell you, after I watched that Giant game, of course, you know, a couple of my buddies were with me, and one of them had to be a Patriot fan. And after it took me about 5 minutes not to smash the taco plate over his head, I realized that, you got nothing to hang your head on. I mean, I know they say there's no such thing as a good loss or moral victory. I get it. But, you know, I got to tell you something. To a man, you can almost believe, okay, that the last thing the Patriots want to do is face this Giant team in the Super Bowl. You got to admit that. You know, here's what I take out of the game. You just hope that what they did, jamming the receivers, the little things that you did not see in the beginning of the year, you hope it carries through. Okay, listen, this division is theirs for the taking. Johnny, it's like you said, 4-2, and I believe they can go 4-2. There's no reason to think why not. I mean, let's be honest, they've had the Redskins number for a couple of years. Okay, Washington really isn't that much of a concern to me. It's you know.
Be careful, Steve.
Yeah, I get it. I know where you're going, but let's be honest. JPP looks like he's getting his sea legs back. Okay, I mean, it's Kirk Cousins, man.
Don't do that.
Arguably has the worst defense in all of football.
You're freaking out, Tino, Steve. You're freaking
out.
What
you need to do for a second, put the fan hat away for a second and just look at it mathematically. The Giants are 5-5, okay? They need to do, you believe, as we believe, is to go 4-2 in the final six.
Four and two
is only one swing game away from 3-3. They've already proven that they are a 500 team. You need one swing game the rest of the way to be a playoff team. That's how you want to approach this. Do it mathematically. Don't do it any other way because you're going to drive yourself nuts. Trust me.
Paul, listen. You know what? I'm glad you said that, and I'm gonna give you this. For the
and
last
I
couple
know
of
about
years,
being
and I'm
driven
sure you
nuts.
Guys will agree, it's been a wait-and-see approach with the Giants. Let's be honest, right? Mm-hmm. This is the game. Oh, today's game, they're going to grab the reins and they're going to go. You know what? Come on. I'm not wrong. And any Giant fan that calls himself a fan will know what I'm talking about. After that Patriot game, to me, they grabbed the reins. I mean, that's the bottom line here. If they can play with the same energy, you know, again, check those receivers. Don't let them get in front of you. You know, just do what you did, and you know what? I believe it's going to come together. And listen, I called it, Paul. I was a little half off. I called the Giants and the Colts to the Super Bowl. But you know what? I'm telling you, if you have to agree, the last thing New England wants is to face his team in the Super Bowl. I get it. It's a long haul there. It's a lot of obstacles to overcome. Do I think they can win this division? Absolutely. And you both know it's Manning time in the playoffs. You get this team in the playoffs, it's Manning time. Thank you for taking my
Thank
call.
Thank you, Steve.
Paul, you're the best. John, I love you, bro.
All right, Ed. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
We love you too, buddy.
I will say one thing that he punctuated his comments with. I do believe Eli Manning gives the Giants a puncher's chance against anybody.
Well, whenever you have one of the top quarterbacks in the league, that's going to be the case.
But the last 2 years, John, he's played extremely well. Extremely well.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't think there's any defense in the NFC that is so dominant, even the Panthers.
Or Seattle.
That is so dominant this year that you would exclude Eli Manning from having a shot. He's proven to me with this McAdoo system now in a year and a half that he's got a puncher's chance against anybody because he can go in and throw for 360 yards and 4 touchdowns on any given Sunday. He's proven that.
201-939-4513. Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's up?
Hey, great to talk to you guys here. I like they said yesterday, I think so too. It wasn't the offense or the defense there that won or lost it for us yesterday. I think the momentum changed and put New England back in the game on that punt return. One play I'd like the Giants maybe to run, I know the Eagles ran it before. Andy Reid used to love it, and I think the 49ers there, the shuttle pass. And I think with Shane Vereen, with that good hands of his, I think that would have been a great play. Mm. I'd love to see the Giants put it in there because it keeps the clock running too, you know. What do you think of that, Paul?
You know, that's not something they've worked on. And when you
have not seen that in camp at all.
No. And that would be my hesitation.
Now, the personnel makes sense. The Vereen-Eli combination, Joe, what you're saying does make sense.
But you got to install that way before now. You can't just bring it out all of a sudden.
Yeah,
I guess.
I just think that would be a good one. I don't think that would be too hard. I really don't install because it keeps the clock running.
There's a lot of timing involved in that.
Shane Vereen
Seriously.
Has great hands.
It's almost whatever. Like
I don't disagree.
Even thinking putting Beckham in the back of him and roll him out and something with him.
I don't disagree, but the timing on that has to be right because if you screw up the timing, the ball winds up on the ground.
It's almost like, remember, it's a forward pass, though, and that's why the shovel pass is a little bit safer. Do you know what it is like? It's almost like running a screen pass, Joe, without running a screen pass.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it is. Okay, what's your second point?
Well, one good thing about that, it keeps the clock. Well, no, I guess if it falls incomplete, it
doesn't. Right,
it does
not. The
second thing I want to take from that game there is the offensive line. It played so good. Especially against New England, who we have coming up, the defensive lines of Miami, the Jets, and the Eagles, the way they handled us that last
and the Panthers
first game.
And
are
the
we
going
to be able?
Joe.
If we can play like that, our offensive line, we're definitely going to be in it to the end. You know what I mean? That's it. And how long is McAdoo and our defensive corner? How long are they signed
Spags?
Up for? That's about
you know,
all.
That, honestly, Joe, that's a good question. I don't think it really matters. Thanks a lot for the call, Joe. We appreciate it. I don't think it really matters how long they're under contract. They'll be here, you know, barring them getting a head coaching job somewhere else. They'll be here as long as the Giants want them to be here. So that's pretty much how that'll go.
Yeah, that's the least of what your worry should be
and
right now.
Don't forget the Panthers defensive line. It might be the best out of all the teams left on the schedule. Kawan Short's been a beast.
You have
Luke Kuechly in middle linebacker. Star Lotilele is a very good player down there. Charles Johnson's been banged up. I'm not sure when he's coming back. But the Panthers' defensive line, whoo! Dave Gettleman, you know what? Say what you want about Dave Gettleman. That guy knows how to build offensive lines and defensive lines. He can evaluate that talent.
He built the Panthers from the inside out. He went to the trenches first. Old school guy, giant school guy. I'm a big Gettleman fan, and I'm happy for him.
201-939-4513. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy football. Just pick your contest, pick your players, and if you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT, To claim your free entry today, DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Big Ed is calling down in Maryland. What's going on, Big Ed?
What's up, guys? How you doing? I got my favorites.
What's
Big
up,
Paulie, how are you? Big John. How's it going?
We're doing well, Big Ed.
Good
what
to
do you
talk
got?
To you.
Oh, man. You guys, listen. Oh, man. What do we say about that?
Big Ed.
You both saw. We all saw. We all seen. So what do we say? We want to be good. We want to be positive. So we're going to stay positive. Okay. All I have to say is simply, if we can't manage the clock with less than 3 minutes to go at home and we should win, we don't deserve to be in the playoffs, period.
Hey, look, and Ed, here's the bottom line, Ed. They will be in that situation again. And they will, if they want, Giants want to make the playoffs, they will have to close out games better in the last 6 games than they did in the first 10 games. I don't think that's an unfair thing to say.
Okay, we can do a fair assessment at this point. Once we finish our fair assessment, we should know what we have. You know, I wanted his head after that game. I just say that. I did. I wanted his head. His head needs to be preserved because you don't lose 3 games you could have won and lose them the way you did. That's just there's no strategy for that. That was just something else.
No, but Ed,
so
I will say this.
To call it.
I will
but
say this,
all
Ed.
Know what it was.
The Giants are not in that game to lose it at the end. The Giants are not in that game to lose it at the end if not for the great preparation during the week by Tom Coughlin and his staff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
just
know.
Just keep that in mind, man.
It's been a while since I played football, and that's what I tell you. The way they play football in the NFL now is not the same as once we grew up with.
That is true. You
know,
that's true.
Football for
don't
real.
Get
don't even
me
know what to call
started.
It.
You know how I love the 80s. You know that.
Come
don't
on,
make me
you
go
know
there.
Those were the best of the best.
I know, brother. I know. I know. I. You know what?
Man.
Can I confess? Can I digress for 1 second and confess? I pulled out Super Bowls 20, 25, and 21 within the last 3 weeks and watched them both.
VHS?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did.
VHS.
I did. I watched them both.
Okay,
you have my beta cam, too,
coach, your notes. So he could use some of that because that's one thing that seems to be going on right now. Everybody seemed to go to the 80s, not just in football, but everything else, seemed to go to the 80s for inspiration and – just new strategies of things and everything.
All you got to do now, Big Ed, is bring back Phil Collins and Genesis.
Man. I don't know what to say.
Maybe a little Huey Lewis in the news?
Don't run the football, and I don't want to say do run the football. You're going to make up your mind which way you go. And it's like somebody has to step up and not be scared. That's what I've seen out of that. That's the biggest thing I've seen out of Sunday's game. Somebody has to step up and not be scared and finish the game strong.
All right, Big Ed.
Hey, look, and then it's already on Facebook, and everybody's talking about it. Akeem Nicks will be with the Giants again, finish the season out strong. What a game we will have. What a team. Oh, can't wait. I hope you guys are coming down in a couple of weeks.
Yes, we will be.
We'll be able to have fun to kick it and whip the Redskins' butt real good.
You going to be at the
it's
game?
It's going to be exciting.
You going to be there?
Yeah, I'm going to be there.
I'm good just man. Making sure.
Excellent, Big Ed. We'll see you down there. All right, big man?
All right, y'all.
Thank
you,
Big
good,
Ed.
Man. And then tell him, man, enjoy the week off and tell him have Thanksgiving together. That would be so huge. If all the players can have their families and Thanksgiving together, that would be awesome. Because the better our camaraderie comes in this off season, on this off five time, it's the best. Do that, we'll win everything.
All right, Big Ed.
So don't get number 5.
I actually hear that Paul Dottino has sent out invitations to the entire team to have Thanksgiving dinner at his house. Is that true? That's a lot of mouths to feed.
I have no response for that.
It's a lot of mouths to feed, Paulie. I'm sure you
no
can handle
that.
That's a lot. It's a lot of turkey. It's a lot.
My biggest issue with Thanksgiving is that I need a Nike 10 every day instead of a Nike 5.
That is true. That is true. Well, I've already put on my mid-season 10 since the start of training camp.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's very, very depressing. By the way, folks, We have to very quickly, and then we have three callers left. We'll get all three in before we get to the top of the hour. But we have to review Jeff. See, now, you're not usually on Mondays and Tuesdays or Fridays. So Jeff Feagles, I'll have to explain to you what I'm about to do here. Jeff Feagles makes his DraftKings picks every week.
I had that with him last Friday.
Oh, you did?
I'm familiar with this.
All right. So he actually has done well now for two straight weeks. He's very proud of himself.
Oh,
so
boy.
It's time to review Jeff Feagles' Week 10 DraftKings lineup. If you've never played on DraftKings, they offer weekly fantasy football contests with no season-long commitments. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. Here we go. This past week, Jeff Feagles did an excellent job selecting his players. Let's start first with the wide receiver. He decided to go with one of the players that turned out to be in one of the shootouts this week. He went with Brandon Cooks of the New Orleans Saints, going up against the Washington Redskins. And as we all know, Brandon Cooks had two touchdowns. He had 100 yards receiving. It was an excellent, excellent pick. He got more than 20 points, cost just $6,000. D'Angelo Williams, now, who knew about this pick? Because Landry Jones started. You focus on the run. D'Angelo Williams had a very good game as well. He only cost $6,500. He was a good pick. And then Cam Newton had a rushing touchdown, a passing touchdown. He did an excellent job continuing the Panthers' undefeated streak, and another good pick for him. So Feagles had a very nice week this week with his DraftKings lineup. That was his DraftKings lineup. DraftKings, fantasy sports, free to play. Enter promo code CONTACT at DraftKings.com to claim your free entry today.
I have not studied Cam Newton because we don't play him for another month. I am very, very anxious to get to that game and do my tape study on him, because from afar, I'm hearing all these great things about what Cam Newton has done.
Well, here's the thing.
But I haven't seen, I haven't watched play-by-play
neither
game
have I.
yet.
I agree with you. Here's my sense from what I've gotten from talking to people. The numbers, completion percentage, they're not MVP caliber. He's not completing 68% of his passes or anything
He
like
makes
that.
Plays, though.
He makes plays, and look at the receivers that he's making plays with.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have his big receiver from last year, lost him in training camp. You know, you have Corey Brown, I think, is one of the two wide receivers. Devin Funchess, the rookie out of Michigan, another one.
I mean, really.
I mean, Greg Olsen's very good. We get that. Jonathan Stewart's a good back, not a great
no
back.
Question.
But Cam Newton, the way he's elevated that team on his shoulders, running and throwing it, to me, he's the key guy where he's doing whatever it takes to win. Ugly, pretty, whatever. He's doing what it takes to get them points.
But
so
it's a month away.
Absolutely. Yeah, Paul has to be more concerned with the Redskins for the next 10 days.
I do.
It's going to be his sole focus. It's all Redskins. He's going to be so stressed out by Tuesday, I'm not going to be able to deal with him next week.
Actually, John and I have the NEC Football Championship game coming up on Saturday.
Little plug.
Duquesne. Absolutely. Let's put a plug out there. Duquesne, by the way, they play at Rooney Field. And we all know the Rooneys are near and dear to the Marist hearts.
Downtown Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Duquesne hosting St. Francis for the Northeast Conference Championship and the right to go to the NCAA football playoffs.
FCS, used to be Division I AA.
Correct. And so we've got that game on Saturday, and that's going to be a blast. And truthfully, folks, the bye week for the Giants comes at a good time because I'm really trying to focus on that game right now.
You will see me freeze on the sideline more than likely. Though it hasn't been too bad yet this year. I've actually avoided a lot of really bad weather situations.
So far.
It was chilly last week, but it wasn't terrible.
And by the way, Kevin Gilbride's in the booth with me for the game.
I've learned so much listening to Kevin Gilbride call these games.
Love doing the games.
Fantastic.
Love doing the games with him. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, that's Saturday, 12 o'clock on ESPN3, Duquesne and St. Francis. And once I get done with that game, I promise you, I will be focused so much on the Redskins, my head's going to spin.
Giant fans, enjoy your bye week. They'll watch some other teams, decompress a little bit, have a good football Sunday without stressing about a win or a loss. Trust me, it's fantastic. All right, here we go. Three callers, 6 minutes. Let's do it. I shortchanged Christian in New York yesterday. He was the last one up, so I'm going to have Christian go first. Christian, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Hi.
So I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I'd say four worthy starters on the offensive line and pretty good running backs. So something I've been wondering lately is if maybe the running backs, the downhill runners like Darqua and Jennings, maybe they just need to catch some rhythm. Like maybe they're not really going to explode in the run game unless they're getting 20, 25 carries a game. Like it just seems like each back gets enough to get warmed up, but not really get in a groove. So
here's the only thing.
I mean, I'm not.
Here's the only thing about that. Honestly, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but you have to understand something. The way this Giants offense is built and the way that they rely so heavily on the pass, okay, they love using Vereen on third down. So you, if you go consistently to a running back and get him in a, quote, groove, that means Vereen's not getting on the field because Vereen's going to be on the field in those passing situations. It's not even third down. If it's second and eight, Vereen's getting on the field.
Yeah, he'll be there.
So that kind of works against you trying to get one back three, four series in a row. And then the other thing is, too, wow, NFL Network announcing the Cowboys have released Wheaton.
I guess that means Romo's playing this week, huh?
I believe so. and the other comment to your the other part to your question, or the other comment to add, is that Vereen and Jennings, to this point, have proven to be more multidimensional than Andre Williams. And Darkwa, in his limited experience, has run the ball well, but they haven't done much else with him. And so what happens is, when either Darkwa or Williams are in the game, defenses tend to cheat and overplay a little bit against the run because they haven't proven that they deserve to be considered a receiving threat. And it looks as though the Giants have kind of tailored the playbook in terms of who the personnel is, what they're going to do with the ball. And it's Jennings and Vereen that have the widest playbook at their disposal, therefore keeping defenses most honest. You following me, John?
I'm with you.
So that kind of works against what you're talking about.
I see. I was also going to say that I'd like to see a few more passes go Andre Williams and Darkwa's way, just so you're not really telegraphing the run when
I understand that, and that would kind of alleviate some of the problem I've just talked about. Here's the issue, though. Every possession, every snap is becoming critical in these Giants games because one play can make the difference in a win and loss, and we've seen that. Can you afford to start building the respect for those players in other areas of the game when every snap is so important? You know what I mean? It's almost like a luxury. If you're going to build Andre Williams in the passing game, you're going to build Darkwa into the passing game, that's a luxury you can't afford right now. Every snap is so huge.
Yeah, and I'd like to see them just at least test it out after the Redskins game, just because I mean that really is a must win. But I'd really like to see them give
you
Jennings
test stuff
like
out in preseason.
Carries.
You know, you can't do that now.
And thanks for
it's
the call, Christian. We appreciate it,
Christian. I'm sorry I took a lot of your time, but the truth is, you're fighting for survival here. You're fighting to tread water. You're fighting for a chance at the playoffs. You can't be testing things now. And every time you throw a ball to Darkwa or Williams in the flat to try to prove that they can be part of the passing game, that's one less ball that's going downfield to Beckham or that's going downfield to Donnell or Ty or Randall or Dwayne Harris. Giants can't afford to do that. They got to get those targets to those other guys. They're playmakers.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones. Derek's down in Atlanta. Derek, what's up?
John, Paul, I hope you guys are well.
We're doing well, Derek. How are you?
Yeah, I had a comment on the game, but first I wanted to say, being someone from Patterson, I'm sad to see that Cruz is not going to make it back this year.
Sure.
Sadly, in my opinion, I think that this is his career as a Giant, because business-wise, I think that the Giants might have to ask him to take a pay cut. And I think he's talented enough, when healthy, to go to another team and not have to take a pay cut. So I think that's going to work against us. But moving on to the game, you know, I do agree with you guys. There is no better coach, and I've said this a few times on the show, than Tom Coughlin in designing a game plan during the week. But still, every week I'm calling in here talking about halftime adjustments in game situations at the end of the game. There's a couple of plays that a couple of things that I noticed. The 4th-and-10 play from the why not have a dime coverage in it? Every team so far has attacked the middle linebacker on a crucial down or a goal line play. Why leave a linebacker in there? Take him off the field. Put Woodlock at defensive tackle with JPP and DeMontre Moore. Put a rush on and play dime coverage. You know, take the linebacker off the field for that play. If they try to hurry up and you don't want that formation, you got timeout. Call timeout and get your lineup back in after the fourth down play if they is successful. But the turnover that they had at the 40-yard line, you have to run the ball. You got one of the best kickers in the league. You have to run the ball to at least try to get that ball into the 30-yard line or around the 30-yard line the first two plays, but you decide to pass and get a sack and get pushed out of field goal position. I think that's a questionable play. You say they want to be aggressive, that's fine, but I think you still have game strategy. You could have went up two scores there, just get the ball into a field goal, then be aggressive. At the end of the game, it was my opinion that they mismanaged the clock. I saw the ESPN and Bill Belichick.
Brian Belichick is with NFL Network.
Yeah, Brian Belichick also said that he, in his opinion, they mismanaged
Derek,
the clock.
Derek, I have a very simple question for you. Would you have been comfortable giving Tom Brady the ball with a minute and 15 seconds down 2 points?
I think that's not – yes, because you know why?
I'm not.
Because that was the situation that you needed to be in, because if you look at the Cardinals game, it was the same type of situation where they had the ball in that same situation. Everybody in the world knew that they had to run the ball twice to use the timeouts. That they stacked the line and they ran the ball twice anyway, because that was called for.
All right.
Is
you know
to
what?
Run the ball and use the
Derek,
time, use
you,
the timeout, and then
force,
kick the field goal.
You want to force the Patriots to score a touchdown on the final Absolutely. Drive. Tom Brady.
I'm not saying
Tom
not
Brady
to be
could...
aggressive. I'm not saying not to try to get a first down on third down. I'm not trying to say no, but the first two plays, you have to make them use your timeouts. Then you can go for a first down or a touchdown on third down. That would have been the proper way of playing football.
I'm going to put an end to this, John. I'm just, if you don't mind, I'm going to put an end to this right now. I've got no problem with the coaching staff and the play selection nor the game plans against the Patriots. I thought they did a sensational job. What I saw was some poor execution. What I saw was an offensive line that allowed pressure on that Eli sack that you're talking about that resulted in no points after the fumble recovery at the Patriots 31. That was horrible. That never should have happened, but that's execution. That's not about game plan, because at that point, if you hit the Patriots when they're down and hit them with a pass up top and you hit them with a touchdown, you're screaming so loud, you probably break the light bulbs in your living room. So you got to take
quick,
it back.
Real quick analogy.
You got to tell. Oh, let's get rid of him. That's it. We're done.
You can let him respond once.
Here's the thing. Execution.
I was all fired
execution was not there. Odell Beckham Jr. had the ball in his hands. He had his feet down. Whether or not you think the rule is right or it's not right or it was enforced correctly, we could debate that for the next 10 hours.
Well, here, and
but
here,
don't get into the play call with me.
Here's the other problem you have then, too.
The ball was there.
And my point is that I don't want to give the Patriots the ball with a minute 15 seconds to go, even with no timeouts, and all they need is a field goal. I think that's a fairly – not easy, but it's a very makeable situation for Tom Brady to get Gostkowski, who can basically kick it for 57 or 58, by the way. He can do it. Number two, if you do what Derek said, and you run it on the first two, the Patriots use their one timeout, then you have the two-minute warning, right?
Yes.
And then he said you want to try to throw it into the end zone on third down. Let's say you throw an incomplete pass. Then you're giving the Patriots a minute 57 seconds to go 30 yards and just kick a field goal. So to me, if you're going to go for the touchdown, go for the touchdown. Don't do these halfway measures. We'll run clock, then we'll try to go for it on third down. Get the touchdown. Putting the points on the board is not going to hurt you. Isn't that what all the Giant fans want to do against Dallas?
First,
get the touchdown. First, now they try to get the touchdown. Now Giant fans are upset about that.
First thing you have to do is decide what is the end game on the drive. What is it that you want? Do you want the touchdown or do you want the field goal?
They wanted the touchdown.
And I think that's the correct call.
And most fans have agreed with that.
Okay.
Correct.
If you buy that,
right.
Now you have to say, what are the odds, what are the percentages that we're going to be able to get the touchdown either through the air or on the ground based on what our personnel is, what we've been doing with the ball,
what the Patriots' personnel is,
and what they do well. Well, if you agree the Giants had to score a touchdown on that last drive, then you have to agree, based on the other factors, that going to the air was the right way to go. And that's it. Case closed.
Mark in Maryland. Mark, we're 30 seconds over already. You got about a half a minute. Go ahead and make your point.
Man, you guys are on point, man. I love the Giants. You know where I'm coming from. Quick, three questions. First of all, we can't take granted Washington. Washington does play us well. I'm going to say that. And also that the resigning of Hicks, I'm not feeling that because he was let go by the Titans because he didn't prove, being there a year. Everybody talking about Hakeem Nicks. Don't jump on a bandwagon right now that Hakeem Nicks is going to be the savior. And third was that when we were down in the red zone, we cannot punch the ball in, and that's the problem that I got with the Giants, my team. So that's all I got to say.
Thank you, Mark. Very succinct. Good job.
I will just add one thing about Nicks, and this kind of goes to the question about how productive he can be. Remember, the last year he was with the Giants, did not catch a touchdown pass.
Right.
Everybody had a big deal about that.
So did he, by the way.
Yes. Then he caught four last year with the Titans.
Right.
So somehow he found a way to get back into the end zone again, and I do think there are some things that Akeem Nicks can bring to the table. How much? None of us know. You don't know, and I don't know if he winds up signing here today.
I want to add this, too, from what Mark in Maryland said. If you want to circle one reason, people keep focusing on that final possession, that's fine. You can do that. You want one reason why the Giants lost to the Patriots? 1 of 5 in the red zone. You cannot kick field goals and expect to beat the New England Patriots. Simple as that. Tino, that's good. I haven't done a show with you since August. This was fun.
Really?
Since camp, right?
Holy smokes.
I think so.
This was energized today.
This was good. It was a good time.
Absolutely it was.
Tomorrow it'll be Marks and Meadow. Then we are off Thursday and Friday as the Giants staff, along with the rest of the team, gets a much-needed rest to repower for the final six games. Paul and I are down to Pittsburgh for a little college football action because we can't have too much time off because we would lose our minds. Thanks for joining us.
Especially me.
And tomorrow you got Meadow and Marks. Thanks for joining us on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll see you tomorrow on Giants.com.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Got through on the field. He's got through.